That is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Man, it I couldn't resist. A little Dino, a little snow. Good morning, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. With Meg, it's time for the Garden Line, and Mike Wiggins is in the house. You made it. I'm so happy.
Oh, I did make it.
Yes.
Well, I'm making home.
That's the question.
we'll see. I've got my we're lucky. Our studio has a huge window that faces the parking lot, but mm-hmm. also the interstate. So we may be the first to see snowflakes in the next hour.
Well, they're getting a little bit up on Century already. Milton's getting a little sleet, I heard.
If you look at the radar, it looks like it's almost right on top of it.
Isn't it wild?
That is wild. And I think
there is a certain irony, you know, to doing the Garden Line on a snow day.
It just don't fit together.
I don't know. I usually find a garden song, and I was like, okay, this might be.
Exactly. Well, you know, I've always said if it's going to be cold and it's going to rain, mm-hmm. you know, let it snow.
Yes.
Let the kids get out. You probably have a lot of kids, many kids out there that have never seen snow.
I've never seen it here since I lived here. I think maybe once or twice, some light flurries at night maybe, but I've never seen any accumulation here.
Oh, no. Yeah, I am. Can you remember the year?
Can you remember what was?
Yeah, I do. I don't remember the year, but there was some accumulation. We built a snowman and that type of thing.
What cracks me up is they were showing, we're getting prepared, and so they had like a pickup truck with a little snowplow that they're attaching to it. I was like, oh, we're in trouble.
Oh, we are in trouble. No doubt about it.
We're in trouble.
But it should be fun, you know, especially the schools are closed today and tomorrow.
Right.
I believe, because listening to the weather this morning, in the morning, Wednesday morning, there will be still be snow on the ground.
Right.
Because we're not going to warm up. We won't be.
It'll stay so cold.
The freezing
area.
Mm-hmm. So there'll still be snow. But I just think of all these kids at home trying to figure. Nobody has a sled.
Right. That's what we were just talking about with Andrew and
John. So you can
John.
Use the lid of a garbage can.
I think you could maybe use a boogie board, maybe, from the beach.
You
something
know,
like
that you could.
Wouldn't that work, maybe?
We all have those.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm trying to think what people've got in their garage, right?
Exactly.
That could work.
Andrew was talking about it, and he's right. Just a big old piece of cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I did that.
And I love the discussion that Andrew was having earlier about what would be the best hill in Pensacola.
Yeah, some interesting answers. What do you think? You have an idea.
Well, if you could get Pensacola's finest, mm-hmm. the police department, to cordon off the 12th Avenue Hill.
Ooh,
that's a good one. Sliding down. Now, what you'd have to be sure that you could stop before you run into Biotar.
Right. That's probably, that wouldn't be. Well, when you think of it that way, if you're over in that neighborhood, the 9th, from 9th, going down 9th past Public, that's the big hill right there.
Oh,
it's not
exactly
a bad hill where the KFC is right there.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I was thinking if they're going to close roads down, I thought that the big ramp that comes when you're coming off of 110 into Pensacola, going towards Chase Street, right next to the Civic Center,
yes.
And it's a big curve there, and it's really steep. Right. That'd be and wide. You could get 100 people on that thing.
Yeah, not now,
but they won't do it.
We've got a lot of young children who listen to the Garden Line,
so here's a warning, guys. Yeah.
Don't go down those hills unless the police department has.
That's right. Make sure
is there to protect you. Because it can be dangerous. And really, with school out, snow day, I bet you so many kids are going to be out playing. Drive so carefully because it could be a little slick out there. And with these kids on their cardboard or garbage can lids, whatever they've got, mm-hmm. boogie boards, you've got to be so careful as we drive around Pensacola. We really do.
Oh, we've got a couple of suggestions that came in. The Naval Live Oaks, let's see, where it says looks sleddable over there. There's some areas. I'm not quite sure where they're talking about. And then suggestion to use a laundry basket as a sled.
Oh, that's something to hold on to.
Right. Janet said
that's
that
a
they
great
do that
idea.
In Bay. She said she's seen it in Bayview. So that's a pretty good one. And let me see what else we got here. Yep. 14th Avenue, big and wide.
14th. I'm trying to figure.
I'm trying to figure out where that is.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Maybe, if you have a suggestion,
maybe,
or thought.
Maybe 14. Maybe that's if you took 12th. Seven. Or if you took 17th.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. 14th. Oh, 14th
on the
way to
Tahar.
From Cervantes down.
Yeah.
That could work.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. If you have some ideas, you're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert
And you
panel.
May want to start small.
Right.
If you've never been in snow, you may want to
start. Because that walk back up
small.
Is hard. But
absolutely.
850-437-1620.
It's fun to talk about. And what we need to do, of course, is just from a gardening standpoint. I know everybody's got their particular plants protected.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, we always said, soon, if you cover them with plastic, which we prefer not to, we like to use a frost cloth or a sheet or something of that order. If you have put plastic, take it off as soon as it's not freezing anymore. I looked at the forecast. It's going to be sub-freezing all the way to Friday.
Wow! So need to leave it on then.
So
the whole time?
Have to leave it on. Yes, and I think you'll be okay. But it's really going to be interesting. I'll never forget back, we talked about this last time, back in 89 maybe. Anyway, when we went down to single digits,
mm-hmm.
A lot of the damage that we incurred with single digits, which we're not going to do that. We're not going to single digits on this goal, maybe 19.
They said the wind chill might get us there a little bit, depending on the wind.
It could be close. But the point is, what we found damage-wise was to some of our basic plants. I always use the example of a Japanese yew, which is a plant that we all have. I say we all have. So many of us have in our landscape. And obviously, you would say it's bulletproof.
Mm-hmm.
Cold weather's not going to get it. And so after the cold, everything was great. But then you got into late spring and summer, and that Japanese yew started going downhill, browning out. Because what had happened in that intense cold is you get split bark. The bark right about at ground level splits because of the cold. And that is a long-term problem for plants when you get to that level of freezing.
Hmm.
And so not much you could do. You're not going to go out and cover your Japanese yews. But if it got down to single digits, 9, 10, 11 degrees. 11 degrees is not single digits. I did go to Florida State.
I wasn't going to say anything.
I knew you weren't.
I'm just being very polite over here, quiet.
I saw you roll your eyes.
I didn't. It was
what is
I didn't roll my eyes. I didn't.
Anyway, we're not going to get that cold. But that is one of the effects of cold weather. Also, very interesting, is St. Augustine grass.
Oh.
And that particular single-digit cold really sustained some damage.
Uh-oh.
And exactly. So weather is important. Some years we'll get, like centipede grass, will be almost out of dormancy, almost green. But then we'll have really just a light freeze or a heavy frost, and it'll send that centipede right back to dormancy. It'll brown out again, and you'll say, oh, my goodness, my lawn is dead. No, it'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
But that's interesting what cold weather will do.
All right. Well, we are going to talk a little bit more about what you can do to keep your garden and your plants safe for the next few days. We're at the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins and Meg, 850-437-1620. Going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. Good morning. This is Pep Talk and the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. And it looks like we're going to get a little snow today. If you have a comment or have a question about what to do for your garden during this inclement weather, as they say, 850-437-1620. A couple texts came in, Mike, while we were on the break of some ideas. One person said about the golf courses as a good place
That's
to sled.
A great idea.
Which is a great, I remember doing that in Atlanta. That's a great idea.
I know I'm not much of a golfer. I love the game. I'm just not very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Scenic hills.
Right. That's what they said. Scenic hills and Cypress Lakes, they said.
Yes, yes. Those
would be good.
Are very hilly. Yeah.
Michael sent in First Baptist Church downtown parking lot and the adjacent hotel parking lot. He says the old skateboard hangout. Anywhere you could skateboard, you can probably sled. Somebody else had said, and this is a good idea, the slid on the lid of a storage box. You know, those plastic lids.
Yes,
that
yes.
could work really
yes.
well. Okay, now this one gets us back to topic, though. This is about gardening. So you want me to, did you want me to read that one we were just told
no,
you about?
Let's talk about snow and, okay. and going on, all right, on our sleds. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, we've got
go
a gardening
ahead.
Question here.
Go get them.
I know it's kind of hard for people to think about flower gardens today, but please remind everyone to plan the use of flowers that are pollinators, since not all of them fall into that category. Our bees will need your help this spring with our cold winter, and that's from Steve on Escambia Bay. That's an interesting thought.
That is an interesting thought. And if you want to do a little more research, you could Google plants or pollinators in North Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a whole list of what's going on. Yeah, we need to plant plants that they all like, you know, salvia, hibiscus, that type of thing. But we're way ahead of ourselves.
I was going to say, I haven't thought about the bees, but that's someone, you know, definitely concerned.
Oh, no question. It is a concern. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's so weird. You always think, well, you know, we've had a cold winter. We won't have any chitch bugs or sod webworms or mosquitoes. But somehow, we always do. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter how cold it gets, they survive.
Yeah, they have a way.
They have a way. That's Mother Nature at her, well, I don't know if it's at her best or at her worst.
Well, it all balances out in the end,
right?
It does
balance out. You're absolutely right.
So they say, anyway.
Exactly. You know what, Meg? What we might do is it might be fun to look at the five P's, the letter P.
Yes.
For cold weather.
That's a great idea.
So let's talk. We did that last week, but we can elaborate on it this time. One is protect people. That's the first one, protect people. And we've talked about that. Now, if you got the little ones out playing in the snow, building a snowman, layer them up, heavy jacket, gloves, hat, all of that. But every now and then, I'd go get them and give them a break.
Mm-hmm.
Come in, warm up. How about a cup of hot chocolate?
Oh, you know, yes.
And then you can go right back to it. But I think you're going to have a lot of that going on. And I'll repeat myself, and, well, I don't apologize for this, but with all those kids sliding down streets and in their yard and sometimes where they shouldn't be,
mm-hmm.
As we drive around town, if we have to get out, be so careful with these kids enjoying the snow, because it could be dangerous.
That's very, very true. And remember, when you're talking about layering, I mentioned this yesterday, it was drilled into me to be sure and have your head covered, that something like 70% of your body heat will go out of your head if it's not covered.
I've heard that.
Something like that. I don't know what the exact statistic is, but that's really important, to wear a hat or earmuffs.
A little knit
something.
Hat.
Even a little knit hat, or even, you know, college baseball cap, whatever you've got, but something to cover your head.
Exactly. Very good advice. Good advice. Okay, where are we here? Protect people. Next P is protect pets. Goes without saying.
Absolutely.
Goes without saying. You've got to have been affected if you do love dogs and cats, as we all do. Some of the losses and some of the pets that were found in California.
I know.
After the fires.
Yeah.
Just tragic. I mean, it was a tragic loss of life, but I think also a lot of the pets were lost.
Well, they're part of the family.
Part of the family, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you just know that all those folks just could not wait and cannot wait to get back in that neighborhood, even though their houses are destroyed, mm-hmm. to look for those pets.
There's some great advice on Facebook for the A Place of Hope Small Dogs, for Small Dogs Rescue.
Yeah.
They posted yesterday, and I don't have it in front of me, but all the guidelines for how to protect your pets. And even some dogs, you know, a lot of people keep their dogs outdoors, but even with those, to bring them inside, even if you just put them in your laundry room, put them in a garage somewhere, even if they're not in the rest of the house,
right.
But bring them in, because I believe it was under 42 degrees is when they start to suffer. And
sure.
The myth is that they have fur,
right.
And it keeps them warm, but that's not really true.
It's not necessarily. True.
To a certain point, yes.
Yes.
But to bring them in this kind of weather, you need to bring them in.
Good advice. Do you have a pet?
No, I used to, my little Amore, but he passed away about a year or two ago. Yeah. I miss him so much. He was my little love bug. Do you?
Not right now. I had the greatest dog.
Me too. I know.
Got her from the Humane Society. She was so skinny when we got her. We called her Bones.
Oh.
Bones lived a long life. It was the greatest dog ever. We babysit we dog sit.
Yes, there you go.
For our family and friends.
Right.
Sometimes, but
they're your grand dogs.
Yes. And what we mainly dogs are a little Shih Tzu.
Oh, they're so cute.
Cool dog.
Yeah.
Cool dog.
Okay. So
all right, where are
people,
we? Here?
People,
okay,
pets.
Okay. And here we go. Oh, just now we're back to gardening. The third P is protect your plants.
Let's hold on that note, because we're going to go take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. This is Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. It's the Garden Line Tuesday with Mike Wiggins. So we're going through the peas to protect ourselves during this winter storm. Right. So and what's next?
It's not too late. It's not too late, because I believe, someone correct me, that tonight may be the coldest night.
So probably, yeah, I'm not sure. But
19, I believe.
The wind chills are going to get us a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. So it's not too late. It may be too late for some plants. Just for example, my elephant ears have, which were so beautiful this year, they're gone. It's all laying down. They're not going to come back. I shouldn't say that. What I will do, I'll cut them off about, maybe foot and a half. They were almost as tall as I am.
Wow.
And they'll come back next spring better than ever. That's just what they do. My mandevilla is brown as a berry. It's gone. Hibiscus are suffering. They're not quite gone yet. And my croton, I always say this, and this is not very scientific, but I love crotons in the summer. I just love the color.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have a bloom to speak of, but just the color. But whenever it gets cold and it loses that first leaf, it's over.
Oh.
It'll take a while, but it's over. So, yes, so some of those plants, yes. Now, if you've got camellia, for example. Now, if a camellia is blooming, the bloom is going to get affected. But you've got a bunch of buds on there. So in order for those buds not to freeze, you may want to consider wrapping a sheet around that camellia. 19 degrees, hopefully it'll help. You never know. But that's a good example of it not being too late. You could probably go ahead and do that right now. And as we've said 1,000 times, as soon as we get out of this freeze, we can take these things off.
Right.
And I think you're going to maybe looking at this weekend when you can do that. But it's a good time to realize that you might want to make the investment in your frost cloths.
Okay. And where do you get those?
Big box stores have them.
Okay.
Big box stores have them. And they're green, and you can just wrap your plant in them, and they'll do better than – you can get an old sheet or blanket, but this is what they're built for.
Right.
And so that'd be a good investment.
Okay.
No doubt about it. Okay, the last one is to protect your pipes.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Protect your pipes. And with 19 degrees, a good idea to go ahead and wrap up that faucet. I just got some old rags and wrapped around and duct taped them around just so to, try to protect them. I've never had the problem before in my house of pipes freezing, but I didn't know what this was going to end up.
We don't know yet, yeah.
We don't know yet. So not a bad idea
right, to
go ahead and wrap up. So we are protecting people, protecting pets, protecting plants, and protecting pipes.
All right. We've covered that. When we come back after the news, we're going to really get specific now about what you can do with your garden and your plants. Yes,
let's do it.
Protect them for the cold weather. All right. This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. If you have any questions or concerns about your garden this morning as the cold weather comes in, text us, 850-437-1620. We'll be back right after the news on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. And ironically, this is the Garden Line on a snow day. If you have any questions or concerns about your yard, your garden, your landscaping, text it in 850-437-1620 because we got our expert, Mike Wiggins, is in the house.
Well, I'm not a weatherman, but it's been fun to talk about this snow. And Meg, I keep looking out the window here.
Yeah, I'm looking too.
For the first snowflake. I haven't seen it yet.
Not yet.
I'd love to hear from some of our listeners up in, say, Milton. Maybe Lisa from Milton.
Hey, there
listening.
You go.
Lisa, look out the window.
Tell us.
See if it's snowing up there yet. Because I do believe it was going to snow and the northern part of the county first.
Correct. Yeah. That's right. So, and we do have some texts that have come in, Mike, if you want. So
good.
One of them, we were talking about the peas to protect your pets, your people, and your plants. But also someone wrote in one more pea, the pool pump and your lawn pump.
Oh, that is so important. I'm not a pool mechanic, but we enjoy our pool very much. And, of course, have the pool pump on a timer. It goes on sometimes it goes off. But we have running it constantly during this cold weather because it's so much sub-freezing weather that can just destroy your pool pump.
Right.
And that's no small expense. It really isn't. So I am so glad we got that text because that is really important. I think most people who own pools know that, but maybe there's somebody out there.
Could be their first home, first
could
winter.
Could be their first home, first pool. And so we've got to be careful because you don't want to lose that pump.
Well, thank you for sending that in.
Thank you. That's invaluable.
We've got
thank
another
you.
Question here. And if you do have a question and you'd like to text it into Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. So this is a great question. How soon after the freeze should I start trimming damaged foliage? Or do I leave that on for the winter to help protect for the next round of cold?
That is so interesting because we don't have time. I have got a whole hour we can talk about a meeting of all the county agents that had a meeting about what to do about plants, specifically citrus, after the last time we had a hard, hard freeze. And what came out of that, to oversimplify it, is do nothing. Do absolutely nothing because what she's saying is correct. Leave that old foliage on, or that foliage that you think you should cut off because it looks dead, if you will. But if you start pruning too early, what can happen is you prune that, let's say a citrus. Okay, then we have a nice run in February and March of some a little bit warmer weather. Here comes the new growth. It thinks it's spring.
Mm-hmm.
Then, boom, we have another freeze. So it will freeze that new tender growth, which will set that plant back. So do nothing. As a matter of fact, that when we had that seminar for that citrus, they were saying you may want to even wait until May.
Really?
To do your hard pruning to prune back behind what is damaged. So be careful. Be very careful not to do a bunch of pruning this time of year. Now, I will take that back because I don't want to be taken back, but add to that, if you've got a deciduous tree, let's say a red maple, it's no problem this time of year doing a little bit of pruning on that because it has no leaves on it. It's bare. You can really see where you want to prune it, and you can do so. Don't forget, though, you follow the rules. If you prune it, you don't want to leave just a stub, say a 2 or 3 foot stub of red maple, and you don't want to prune it so close that you scar the tree.
Mm-hmm.
When a limb comes off of the trunk, it kind of comes out of what the experts call a collar, and you want to prune right into that collar when you're pruning those deciduous trees. So you could do a little bit of pruning on your oak trees, red maples, river birches, that type of thing. But no, on your citrus, your ornamental plants, cool it. Just kind of wait.
Okay. On that note, Bruce sends in a question. What about pruning crepe myrtles?
Oh, that's a great question also. I at my age. I'm sorry to say this.
Forever young, Mike.
Well, yes, but forever my age. One thing you don't do is ladders.
Oh, true.
No ladders. No, that was in my younger days. And so I have a young man who is really, really a good pruner. And he will come in and prune my crepe myrtles for me. And matter of fact, I owe him a phone call because it's time to do it. I say it's time to do it. I like to do it in February.
Really? Early February. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
But now I guess he's asking specifically like after this freeze?
Oh, no. You're not going to have any damage to the crepe myrtle after this freeze. They are not going to be affected. But you can go ahead and prune those crepe myrtles in February. And remember now, remember the term? Don't commit crepe murder.
Oh, no. I've not heard that before.
Don't commit crepe murder. You only want to cut back about a third of the new growth. They bloom on new growth.
Okay.
And so don't cut back more than a third. A lot of people, if you've got a 15-foot crepe myrtle, will take it all the way down to maybe 5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And all you've got is a big ball there where the limbs all came together. And that is not good. Number one, it looks horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It looks horrible. And, you know, you're not going to get that much blooming. It's just not the way to do it. Prune back that new growth of this year,
mm-hmm.
back a third, maybe 50%, but about a third, and you'll be in better shape. And the tree will look better, but don't get on that ladder if you have the slightest qualms about that. Get somebody else to do it.
At least have a ladder holder.
Right, exactly. Now, there's also the other side of that coin, Meg, is you don't have to prune them at all.
Okay.
You look around town, you see crepe myrtles that are 30, 40 feet high.
Right.
Never been pruned in their life. And they will bloom. They'll mm-hmm. bloom on that new growth.
True.
But it's good to keep them under control, especially if it's in a home landscape, because if not, that crepe myrtle will take over. So prune them February, about a third of the growth, and you'll be in business. Yes.
Great question. So we're listening to Mike Wiggins. He's our expert today on the Garden Line on Pensacola's expert panel. 850-437-1620. We're answering lots of questions, especially with this cold weather coming in and snow. How do you take care of your plants? What do you do? Got a question? Text it in. 850-437-1620. We'll be back. We'll have a couple of commercials here. We're going to listen to those, and then we'll be back right after that. Good morning, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and it's the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. So, Mike, got a couple of things for us?
Yes, I do. This is kind of interesting. I got a text from some of my extension friends, and one of them was New Year's resolutions for gardeners. Well, Meg, you and I are way ahead of the curve.
We covered some of that already.
We hit that. We had our extensive list. But these, there are about three or four of them.
Okay.
And they're kind of interesting and kind of something you need to think about. So ready, here we go. Number one, try to accept more imperfections in your landscape.
I'm thinking that's no problem. I can do that.
Exactly. This guy's name is Mark. So Mark says it's hard to be perfect. And listen, this is something I'm not sure I totally go along with this. He says, consider these landscape imperfections as signs of character and what make it unique.
My garden's got so much character.
Here's my lawn. I got this big bare spot over here, but that's ridiculous caring. Anyway, he says try to focus on the positive qualities
mm-hmm.
of your overall landscape, and just don't fixate on minor insect damage or a weed or two. He says your anxiety, worry, and efforts were not needed. Okay, I'll buy that. But also, I will add a couple of things. One, no. If you've got a couple of small problems, you can probably ignore them. They may take care of themselves. But small problems in gardening can turn into large problems.
Mm.
You can say, oh, I've got this little brown spot out by the street. This would be in midsummer, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll just let it go because it'll probably take care of itself. But it could easily be Rhizoctonia, brown patch fungus. It could be sod webworms. It could be chinch bugs, which may be a small problem today, but a big problem tomorrow. So you may want to address that. By the same token, if you have planted Indian hawthorn,
okay,
Raphiolyptus is the proper name for that, Indian hawthorn, and it's got all these black spots on it, and the plant just is not thriving. Well, accept that imperfection, because that is a leaf spot fungus, a Photinia leaf spot fungus that was originally on red top. Red top is Photinia. Back in the day, we all planted red top. It was a great hedge. All the new growth with these red leaves. Well, it got all those spots, and it's not curable. You can't cure it.
Oh.
So you have to accept that imperfection in your yard. But it it's just something you have to ignore. And so if you're going to have these problems, sometimes, and there are a lot of people who do this, if you'll just mow it correctly, water it correctly, and fertilize correctly, you will be way ahead of the game, no doubt about it. Okay, you ready?
Yes, sir.
This was important. And really, we could do a seminar on this one. Reduce your pesticide use.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, and we would all like to do that, because many times when you're using an insecticide, sometimes there's a misdiagnosis, there's the wrong timing, or it's the wrong chemical for the problem that you're trying to deal with. So look at it a couple of ways. One, there are some organic, very, very safe, and I don't want to imply that insecticides are not safe. They're labeled, they're federally recommended, and so if they're used right, they're okay. But there are things like ultrafine oil. Remember last week, I think we had a call about all the little spots underneath the leaves, like on a sago palm or angustrum. Ultrafine oil is what you'll spray in April and October. Very safe. It's just an oil. It's not toxic at all. There's also the chemical called BT. BT is Bacillus thuringiensis. A lot of people use it on vegetable plants to control worms. That's all it does, controls worms. Very, very safe. So those are just a couple of insecticides that are very, very safe and are not, quote, toxic chemicals. Not meaning they're going to hurt you.
Right.
Because what you've got to do is, boy, we preach this sermon a lot, read that label. The label is going to tell you what it is, what plant it can be used for, more important, what the dilution rate is. You know, we've always used the term, if you're going to spray a bush with an insecticide and you're saying, it's really bad, I'm going to really get it this time, and so you double up your dosage. It's not like playing poker.
More is not necessarily better.
Exactly. You can't double up to catch up like you're playing poker. That is dangerous. You don't want to do that. Also, you need to dress appropriately if you're using your insecticide. Long sleeve shirt, shoes, safety glasses.
Mask.
We all have masks now around the house. So you need to do that. So be sure you're spraying for the right thing. You've got the right chemical. You're using it right. And I think you're going to be okay. But if you reduce your pesticide use, keep in mind there are some things out there that are not pesticides in the true sense of the word that you might want to use. So that's kind of the story on that. It kind of goes both ways. There are some chemicals over the years that people have used, but then the government has taken them off the market. I guess one of the classic cases, there were books written about this. Remember DDT?
Yes, I do. DDT. I sure do.
And remember, in Pensacola, and somebody may correct me on this, it's just as a childhood memory, we didn't have brown pelicans in Pensacola for the longest time. And there were some that said it was because of DDT.
Interesting.
DDT is outlawed in the entire nation. It cannot be used. And good riddance.
Right.
There are a few other ones too, but in any event, DDT is an interesting story. All right, here's the third one. Plant more native species. Well, that's good. Because
and you talk stuff, about that a lot.
Yeah, a lot of people like to plant some native stuff. I made a quick list of some native plants. Carolina jasmine, trumpet plant. Remember the lady that called about the trumpet plant? Purple coneflower, that's a beautiful perennial. And that's labeled as a native plant. Gilardia, which is an Indian blanket, that's a good perennial. And one of my favorites, Dusty Miller. I never would have thought of Dusty Miller as a native plant, but Dusty Miller is an annual. You plant it like when you plant your petunias and your marigolds, and it's just gray. The foliage is all gray. But you plant a Dusty Miller next to a blooming impatiens or petunia, if you will, marigold. It's a great contrasting plant. So Dusty Millers. So sunflowers, that's a good one. Butterfly weed, we've talked about that one. So those are some of the native plants. But there are other things we need to, other plants, I think we are not necessarily what you call native plants, but I guess the scientific term is they're bulletproof.
Ah, okay. So All right.
Maybe when we have a few minutes when we come back, we'll chat about some of those.
All right. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. We'll be back. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins in The Garden Line. Allison is on the line. Allison, you had a question for Mike in regards to the DDT? Go ahead, Allison.
Yes, I just wondered if the lack of lightning bugs around here is also related to the DDT, and sure wished we had them.
Oh, great. That's a great question. Okay.
That is a great question, and I don't know the answer. But I tell you what, I know a few people in the biology business. I'm going to ask them that. I'm going to make a guess, and Alice, this is a pure guess on my part, that it really did not affect the lightning bugs. That was decades and decades ago, 30, 40 years maybe.
Well, maybe we can find out an answer for by next
week.
Yeah,
we'll
look into it.
Yeah, Alice, thank you for the question.
Thanks, Allison.
We'll look into that.
Stay safe, and if you're, I hear you're in your car.
Well, I miss them, too. I miss the kids going out and collecting them.
Yes, me too, in a jar. Thank you, dear. Be safe. Get home. I hear you're in your car. Get home, girl. All right, so we've got a couple more things we wanted to mention, just in case you're just tuning in. We've been talking this morning about the cold. What can everybody's home. What can they do now?
Well, that's exactly right. We were going to talk about more native plants.
Yes.
We'll do that next week.
Yes, okay.
We'll do that next week. I think what we need to do now is look at what we've got. Go look at those P words, if you will, and take care of the pipes, take care of your pets, take care of people, but also take care of your plants. And be sure you've got them wrapped, because if you haven't done it yet, I think you still may have some time, since we're going down to below 20 tonight, is what I've seen in the forecast. Go out and wrap those plants. Get you a good bed sheet. Wrap them. Wrap it all the way to the ground. Put some bricks on the ground to anchor it so this wind doesn't blow the sheets off. And then, scientific method here, cross your fingers.
Say a little prayer.
Say a little prayer for me.
Exactly. All right. Stay warm. Stay safe. Mike Wiggins with The Garden Line. He'll be back again on Tuesday. We do a rebroadcast of this show on Saturday mornings right here on News Radio 92.3.